It's a big world out there, becoming more and more technically oriented every day. We all need help understanding and knowing how to work with ever-evolving computers, cell phones, and electronic devices. Stay tuned and you'll find out from local experts as KAZM presents Tech Talk. And now, here's your host, Mike Tabak, with Tech Talk.
Welcome into the program. Tom Tabak here with me. Unfortunately, I have to sit with Bob Coates today.
Unfortunately, dude.
Totally having fun with you. We respect Bob in so many ways, folks. He's one of the best photographers in the country, and he's local here, so we take advantage of him. Totally.
And I appreciate it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. We use him as Chasm's official photographer, so we're going to be talking about photography, of course.
And, photography, cameras, art, and speaking.
Speaking. Okay. Talkies.
You movie people, I got to tell you.
We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back into the program. Again, Tom Tabak here. Bob Coates from Bob Coates Photography. And what do you want to start with? You said cameras, art, and then speaking.
Let's start with cameras.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I just got another new camera to test from Panasonic.
Ooh, new toy.
And I handed it to Josh, and he made photos of us today already, and let's take a look and see how he did.
You're going to look at it already?
I am. I got to take a quick peek.
Now, did you hand it to Josh just to prove that anybody can operate this camera?
No, it was because he's the third body around.
Yeah.
Okay, and he did great. And the nice part about it is there's a feature in a lot of these cameras. It's called Intelligent Auto.
Uh-huh.
And, you've seen some automatic cameras before, and they do an okay job. Well, this Intelligent Auto goes a whole nother step further in giving you a good, solid exposure for almost any scene.
Really?
And it's built into most of the cameras. Matter of fact, I will leave my camera, if I'm carrying my camera around in my car, I will leave it set to Intelligent Auto in order to be able to pick it up, grab it, turn it on, and shoot.
Gotcha.
And, if the deer is still there when it's time or whatever it is that, was being photographed, then I may, tweak it, massage it, and try, do some personal settings.
Yeah. So when you say Intelligent Auto, autofocus?
The cameras are built with autofocus.
Right.
But the major part of the Intelligent Auto is it does the aperture, the shutter speed, and the ISO.
Really?
It will help give you a sharp photo. If the light gets low, it's going to punch the, if it says, ooh, this is getting pretty dark here, and this photo is probably going to be blurry if I don't take the ISO up. Uh-huh.
Okay, so now the camera's doing this in a split second, whereas old technology, of course, was you had to hold a light meter up and you had to take your readings and then you had to adjust your camera.
Well, you still need to do that for regular stuff, but I'm talking about for, Joe, somebody average who just wants to get a good solid, solid exposure. And this is on most cameras, but the camera I'm looking at today or have with me today is the Lumix FZ1000.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a range of, from 25 millimeter to 480 millimeters. So it goes from wide angle to zoom very quick and easy with a little push-pull button.
Uh-huh.
The Intelligent Auto, the other part of that is not only does it set those three settings, it also looks at the scene. And when it looks at the scene, if it has a pre-programmed, there are some pre-programmed like landscape settings and macro settings and food settings and things that tend to be general settings for a specific scene.
Okay.
It'll also look at that scene, and if it says, oh, look, I see clouds and mountains, so I'm going to put this into landscape mode for you.
Oh, no kidding.
That's focusing really, really close. I think that should be macro or portrait or flower, so it automatically, not only does it suss out, and the technology is just amazing, in these cameras now.
Auto intelligence.
Intelligent Auto is
or
the setting.
Intelligent Auto, okay.
But it's the same idea.
And it's amazing the advances in technology. I think most people tend to think of it as advances in technology where computers are concerned. But your cameras are
now
little computers, aren't they?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, there's some incredibly advanced features in there that are very simple to use.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we've all seen the time lapses, like what's that movie on Netflix with the president thing? Where they have all the little time lapse sequences, and they're appearing in most television and movies now.
Yeah.
They're very actually easy to do. You set your camera up on a tripod, or if you don't have a tripod, a bean bag or something that will hold the camera steady. Mm-hmm. And you can put in this, it has an intervalometer built into the camera. So you can say, make a photo every 3 seconds, or make a photo every 5 seconds or 12 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're done, you go to a different menu. And when you're first done, it'll say, do you want me to make a video of this right now?
Oh, no kidding.
And you can say yes or no. If you say no, then you have to go to a different menu and bring it back up. And then you can set the quality so you can reproduce the video in 4K or, smaller depending upon where you're going to be using it.
Yeah.
And you can say, and let's do that at 24 frames a second playback.
Uh-huh.
Or, and then you look at the one that says 24 seconds playback after you're done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, wow, that's a little too fast. Oh, let's reprocess it again.
Just change it.
At 12 frames a second or 8 frames a second or 4 frames a second, and it depends on how fast you've captured them. So, there's a little bit of an art to deciding how many frames you should get.
You can actually then photograph your kids cleaning up their room and then play it back to them sped up to show them how it should look.
Yes, as a matter of fact, you can. Yeah, you put it on wide angle. As a matter of fact, I time-lapsed you guys one time when you were setting up for Soundbites Grill.
That's right, that's right.
And it was really interesting to see how many times, how much you do and how much work actually goes into setting up the stage or whatever. So you can tell a lot of
cool
stories.
You've actually got that posted on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a time-lapse setup of the stage.
So you can see how much work goes into getting that stage ready, getting the instruments up, the microphone set, and in and out, in and out, in and out.
I watched it once, and I was breathing heavy after I watched it.
So there's like a part of the art of a time-lapse is to decide how many frames per second to or how many frames you should shoot. The interval between.
Right.
So when clouds are moving really fast through a scene, then you'd want to do them at maybe 5 to 10 seconds between each photograph.
Yeah.
If they're moving very, very slow, then you might want to do 1 or 2 second intervals.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can decide on how fast you play them back. So there's a lot of variety and creativity that you can pull into that.
What fun.
For flowers, for example.
Okay.
Cactus were blooming. I had some cactus outside. And I thought, well, you know what? I haven't done a time lapse of a flower before. So I set up my camera outside. I kind of blocked the light or put in some scrims.
Yeah.
And turned on the, and I took a photo every 38 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, you just get that little, the bloom comes up really fast if you play it back at, at 40, 24 frames a second or at 6 frames a second. It kind of, moves. You can see the light moving through the scene. So it really adds a lot of interest, and it's a lot of fun. But the point is, you don't even have to export the photos into the computer in order to accomplish the finished video.
Right.
And, some of this stuff, I've never been.
So you're looking at the video on the camera itself.
Sure.
And if you want it to go faster or slower, you make that adjustment on the camera.
You would reprocess it. Mm-hmm. Process. So now you would have two copies of that video.
Okay.
So when you download it, you would have the 24 frames a second one, and then you would have your 12 frames a second one or whatever. But you can make a determination of whether you like how it was processed before it leaves the camera.
Right.
So, and that's just the beginning of what's available inside this camera. And, this particular camera has a pretty large chip. So it's an $1,100 camera.
Whoa. Okay. You're going to be able to load a lot on there.
Yes. Hmm. Yes. So that's that one. But we have a lot of the same capabilities available in a, $500 camera, $300 camera.
Right.
Some of the, like the FZ300, which would be, more of a consumer, has a slightly smaller chip, but it has a lot of the same features.
Mm-hmm.
It has actually even more reach because it's a smaller chip. So that when they're using basically the same lens, I think, so it goes further. So it's a 25 to, 600 or 800
Interesting.
Or something.
Yeah. Okay. So they're making the cameras then, understandably. You've got your first level, which is going to be consumers, snapshot artists, home photos kind of things, and then they've got steps up depending on how involved or how professional you want to get.
Yeah. The FZ line is a I would call it a pro. Even this camera that I have here is just shy of pro. I would call it a prosumer camera. So it's above advanced amateur.
Yeah.
But it's below a pro camera, although it has a real, you know, big pile of features on there. And as if you know video, it also has built-in neutral density filters. So in bright sunlight, you can get the thing slow enough to get the proper shutter speed and stuff.
Wow. All right. Let's take a break and come back and talk about art.
Sure, but let's tell them where I am.
Where are you?
BCphotography.com. And if you're in, that's for my commercial people, if you want to learn about what I do. And then if you're interested in photography and the things like we're talking about now, as far as the technology goes and the use of the cameras and my creativity, then you would be at successful-photographer.com.
All right. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the program. Talking to Bob Coates from Bob Coates Photography, of course. And you passed the test in that first segment. You knew where you were.
I did.
BC Photography.
I don't always.
BCphotography.com. Let's talk art.
The art and the technology of the art, it's changing. As a matter of fact, I'm considering, at least in one portion of my business, of changing. You know, I'm not a photographer anymore. I'm a lens-based artist.
Ooh. Okay.
And the reason for that is because it's, you know, to me, photography would be natural single photos, you know, like Ansel Adams or, you know, so it's a very realistic representation.
Okay.
And then we take it to the next level where we're mixing and matching and adding different layers and multiple images and different things. When we do all that, now it's moving, to me, it's moving beyond photography because it's not just a single capture or a couple of captures like HDR.
Yeah.
And it's high dynamic range for those who don't know what HDR is. The art of it, of knowing, in other words, I'm now starting to see digitally. I'm looking at a scene and I'll go, ooh, there's not enough, you know, if I just take one image of this, there's not enough density range from the camera to be able to see the whole scene as the eye would see it.
Okay.
So immediately I'm like, okay, this probably should be photographed with multiple exposures with some higher and some lower so that, excuse me, the shadows are produced properly and the highlights are produced properly the way your eye would see it, because your eye's pupil is constantly opening and closing, so you look out the window and your pupil closes down immediately. You don't even think about it. It happens in nanoseconds,
right?
So it's an automatic body thing, so we don't even think about it. If we look into the room and look into the shadow corner, the pupil opens up, so we see details in all these things, but you can't do that. The camera only has one hole at one time. So what we do is either, you know, extend the exposure range and then blend those together so that the highlight portion is proper, the shadow portion is proper, and then we actually would see the photo the way the camera would see it.
And I'm going to guess that when you've seen something that's been done like this really well, this is the difference between looking at a photo that's a nice picture, but it's a flat picture, and then you look at the same image that's been processed the way you're talking about, and it almost jumps out at you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it's... Yeah, you're getting the complete detail range and it's great tonal range all the way through.
Yeah.
We've all been on the beach and taken that photo of somebody and they're, you know, the sky is beautiful just the way you see it and the white puffy clouds are in the blue sky and the person's in silhouette.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. The person is properly exposed and that beautiful blue sky with the white puffy clouds doesn't exist.
Right.
It's just a white blown out area. So that's what the value is of being able to do that kind of thing so you can see the entire scene. Now, there are some settings on here where automatically it will, again, process an HDR photo directly in camera. So you push the button and it automatically goes, and it will layer those photos together and blend it into a finished photo right away. Now, that's not as good as the other necessarily, as, you know, as doing it by hand and processing it and doing it with the higher quality file. But it is there, and, you know, as they say, sometimes good enough is good enough. And I'm actually pretty amazed sometimes at how well it really does.
Interesting.
Actually, I'm often amazed at how well it – maybe I don't utilize that setting enough, you know. But I'm always looking for the highest quality stuff. So I'm shooting in what they call raw. And then processing the images
afterwards. These are all the things you can do But you can't do these things with a cell phone camera. You need a proper camera to do this.
Well, you know, that technology is also moving into the cell phone cameras. But the thing to remember about the cell phone is those images will always look great on a cell phone.
Right.
But if you try and take them out and then print them, maybe not so much because it's a, well, and I'll bring that back. Any camera in a professional's hands can make amazing. I've seen some cell phone artists who are making incredible images and printing very large.
Granted, there are people that are even creating videos using their cell phones.
And, you know, almost doing, you know, movies and commercials with the cell phone, you know.
Right.
So, you know, the technology in the proper hands with the proper lighting, you know, you can do almost anything. But for the average person, yeah, having a nice camera like this can be really, really quite helpful.
Yeah,
and Panasonic has been, I've been really, really impressed with how they're moving the technology forward. And there's features that are in my pro cameras that are in, you know, a camera like this that I'm like, holy macro, like focus. I mean, we can get into all sorts of things, but we won't go crazy on the camera part. So, but that's all part of the art. So, for example, I'm now painting my photos within, you know, digitally.
Uh-huh.
So if I start with a blurry image, then the image will be blurry. So it has to be super sharp.
Yeah.
So there's a thing called focus stacking. So I will set the camera up and it will focus through the scene. And then it will, again, blend those images together so that we get only the sharp bits are blended together into that one photo. So
okay.
You get this super sharp image. And that's what I would start with before I start painting the image.
Yeah.
So creating the art, so the technology is making it possible for me to do art that I could, you know, would have been much, much more difficult in the past.
All right, let's talk about the speaking.
Speaking. Yeah, let's see, I'm heading to New Orleans.
Now, I should preface this by reminding people that Panasonic actually pays you to travel around and teach people how to use their equipment.
Actually, it's not to use their equipment. I speak on photography and business and the art of photography and some of the things that we were just talking about now. I share that with photographers. And Panasonic doesn't pay me to show people how to use the cameras. They pay me to teach photography and share the fact that I use this line of cameras to create my stuff.
Okay.
So they'll pay my travel expenses and my speaking fees, and then the organization, you know, will usually, you know, kick in a little something depending upon how long they want me to be there.
Right.
Let's see. Okay, yeah, so I'll be in New Orleans with the Professional Photographers of Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
They're having their annual convention. I'll be helping to judge their print or image competition.
Okay.
And then I'll be presenting a program, and I will have since I have, you know, all the different cameras for Panasonic to play with, I bring those along and I set up a little display so people can touch them and, you know, play with them or borrow them, you know, while I'm there.
Yeah.
But I'm not actually selling cameras or
whatever. No, granted. Yeah. You're the luminary.
Lumix luminary. And basically it's, you know, I'm an ambassador for the product. It's just, you know, and I'm really excited. If you can tell, I get really excited about, you know, the features and things that
are
going on.
Well, it's one of the neat things about you. There are tons of people that work and they do very well at what they choose as a profession, but it may not be necessarily their passion.
True.
You're lucky enough to be able to make a living at your passion.
I am a very, very lucky person.
And I think that makes you better, quite frankly. Wouldn't it always?
I would think,
sure.
The most of the people who really, you know, who are, you know, crazy in love with photography usually are putting out some pretty cool images.
Sure.
I'll also be speaking locally at the Sedona Camera Club at
okay.
the end of August, their last meeting. It's the last Monday of the month, and that's at the Lutheran Church on the road where you go to Back Beyond.
Okay.
Or not Back Beyond. That's the other Lutheran. Church of the Chapel of the Holy Cross corner there.
Okay.
So I'll be speaking there, and I'll be doing a program on the technology of how I'm using, leveraging the technology to do, you know, be more creative with photography.
All right. Let's take one more break, and we'll get contact information, folks, when we come back. Welcome back into the program as we wrap things up. Talking to Bob Coates from Bob Coates Photography today. We want to give you contact information. Interesting subjects today, talking about cameras and how they're developing and how they're getting better and better and better. The art of photography.
Creativity.
Yeah. And your speaking engagements coming up.
Yep.
Fun stuff.
Indeed.
Now, people can get a hold of you for your own or their own good. How's that? For your own personal expertise.
DCphotography.com and successful-photographer.com. All my contact information is on each of those pages on the front page, so you got my telephone numbers and all that stuff. So
okay.
You don't have to do that.
Okay. And if you have to, folks, just Google Bob Coates and ignore all that arrest information. That's Bob Coates Photography.
You've been listening to KAZM's Tech Talk, a discussion program Wednesdays following the noon news with local experts. Tune in again next week for updated information about computers, cell phones, electronic devices, everything technical. That's why we call it Tech Talk, right here on 780 KAZM.